Call the meeting to order, and as required by state law, this meeting is open to the public. Telephonic communications. The college is complying with suspended proceedings of the Open Meetings Act in accordance with Section 418.016 of the Texas Government Code. Members of the public are now entitled to participate and address the college through the remote connections or may attend in person at this time. Is there anyone that wishes to communicate to the board?
Let's make sure. Max, are you in?
I am here.
Okay, great.
Very good.
So, Max, you, all the other board members are here. So, Mr. Chairman, you have a full board.
All right, very good. Okay, this meeting is in order. Now, first item on the agenda is communications to the board. And I can say, anyone want to say anything?
Okay.
Right ahead.
Do you have an order?
You do need to, yes, communication to the board is now, Stephen, so we'll just need to have you sign a piece of paper, that's all. But you can go ahead and sign it.
I have a handout if you'd like it.
Okay, you bet. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Anybody else would like a copy?
Max, I'm going to take a picture of it and I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Pass on that. That's what I do. So, as of yesterday, these numbers were set from yesterday. I've got everything cited here. See it? There are 9,340,000 active cases of COVID in the United States. The mortality rate is 3.4%, which seems low, but that is still 32 times stronger than the average annual flu. So I did the math for you. 9,340,000 times 0.034 is 316,200 deaths. That also calculates out to 1,860,000 long-term health issues active right now. Okay. That involves, and this is where my part comes in, like neural damage, kidney issues. There are all kinds of stuff that shows up with pulmonary compromise, fibrosis, silicosis, and so on, including cardiovascular damage and gamete transferal. Wearing a mask decreases that by 65%. So we can actually be 65% less than what we are right now. But doing that, using just proper distancing like we are doing here in this room, as well as wearing the mask, we can decrease that by 90%. Okay. So I've offered where I've gotten that from UC Davis. If you need an electronic copy so it's easier to type in, let me know and I'll email it to you. You can have this.
Yeah, I can afford it.
That means the loss of life will be reduced because, unfortunately, those that have active cases right now, 3.4% of them are mortality right now. So they are currently alive and will not be. That is a very difficult thing for me to say. I hate having to say it out loud, but I understand the reality of the situation. I don't want to make that worse. Adding one is too many. So the loss of life, just by keeping proper social distancing as well as wearing our masks, would reduce that number. Rather than being 316,200, it would reduce that to 113,000, and the long-term issues drop down to 635,000. Those numbers are hard to picture in your head, I know that. But that would be something equivalent to Midland and Odessa and Big Spring multiplied by 2, and every person in it being affected. So in the meantime, people are being vaccinated, which is great. We have to continue doing so. Thank you for helping that. I appreciate it very much. But currently, Texas only has 7% of the population vaccinated. That was as of yesterday. 7% is nowhere close to herd immunity of 70. Okay? We try to shoot for 70 and above. We still have to do 10 times what we've done so far. So we're not there yet. With that, it takes somewhere between 2 to 4 weeks for post-vaccine full immunity. That's for the second shot, not including Johnson & Johnson. I don't have information. But if we did a drive yesterday and those were some people's first shot, let's just assume it was their second shot, they would still need 2 to 4 weeks, which would push us into weeks 12 to 14. We only need 2 more weeks to get through the entire semester. So it is my request that we continue with the mask mandate here at our college. This math has been checked by our math instructor just to make sure. She sits by there. I'm good with the math. However, it's always better to be checked. So I know that we get to choose. You guys are choosing and terrifying so very much in a good way. But we make that choice. Please help as much as we possibly can and decrease that. I don't want to lose, personally, I don't want to lose any more for people. I've lost too many. I don't want one more. So given the opportunity, please vote, you know, to continue COVID mitigation. It's a small thing. No, nobody wants to wear their mask for another 6 weeks. I know that. But I would rather us be slightly inconvenienced for the next 6 weeks than have a permanent loss to somebody that we can't replace.
This is Dr. Hobbs, Stephen Hobbs. I'm not sure everyone knows.
I teach optical sciences here, so yes. Biology, chemistry, and physics. I currently teach microbiology as well as the other biology courses as well. So this is quite literally what I do. I spent 8 years training for this and hoping never to use it, and now I have to use it. So I'm glad I have it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, Doctor. Okay, we're going to move on now to our other item. Item number 3 is the open hire college plan.
All right, board members. So you all know that literally about a year ago, we started this journey. And at the March 29th board meeting, we will be giving y'all the 12th COVID update. It's hard to believe, but we've been in this emergency situation in the state of Texas declared by our governor for over a year. And as we know, last Tuesday on March 2nd, the governor had a press conference in Lubbock, and there was a press release that came out of the governor's office, and then also there was the order. So you all have it in your board book, but Emma has it up, and basically what we know happened is that the governor on that day lifted the mask mandate that had been in place. Now, at the same time, he made the comment that we've been doing this, we know the habit, we have the habit, we know what we need to do. He did not discourage people from doing the things that we had been doing, but he gave people the choice. And then he also lifted we'd had the reductions in capacity, and he put everything back into 100%. Now, when you look at the order, and Emma, if you'll go next to the order, the governor's order. It's not going to work for you? Okay, let me just keep going, and you can keep working on it. Okay, so in the governor's order, of course, that was of particular interest. What does that mean? I was watching that press conference and have tried to watch all of the press conferences along the way, and so immediately was curious, okay, so how does that apply to colleges? So looking at the governor's order then, on page 3 of the order, it said, public schools may operate as provided by and under the minimum standard health protocols found in guidance issued by the Texas Education Agency. Private schools and institutions of higher education are encouraged to establish similar standards. So then at that point, as you all know, there was a lot of activity going on across the state trying to figure out, okay, what exactly does this mean? And so the TEA guidelines then, they would be released on March the 3rd. And so obviously we were trying to all read the tea leaves, what exactly does this mean, and how does this apply to the colleges and universities and all of that. And so we had the chance to look at the TEA guidelines to see, okay, what is going to be in those. So, okay, so in the TEA guidelines, if you go to, actually, I think it's on page 7, Emma. If you go to page 7, it specifically addresses masks. And basically, number one talks about the different types of masks. Then number two, it said schools must comply with the following requirements. Every student, teacher, or staff member shall wear a mask over the nose and mouth when inside a school building, school facility, facility used for school activities, or when an outdoor space or school property are used for social activities, wherever it is not feasible to maintain 6 feet of social distancing from another person not in the same household, provided, however, that this mask requirement does not apply to the following. And then it goes through 10 years of age and younger, medical conditions, when a person is consuming food or drink or is seated in a dining area to eat or drink, when they're outside exercising, although maintaining a safe distance, any person while the person is giving a speech for a broadcast or to an audience. And then it had a new bullet in it. The governing board of a school system may modify or eliminate by formal action the above mask-related requirements. So, being able then, reading that, then, again, still trying to read the tea leaves, I did reach out to the Associate Commissioner of the Coordinating Board, Ray Martinez, who has been informing the community colleges and the universities throughout this entire pandemic relative to guidelines and what we needed to do, to start asking questions, are we going to be expecting anything from the coordinating board relative to colleges and universities. Also, we had immediately reached out on the day of the press conference to Texas Association of Community Colleges to see if we were going to have some kind of a meeting of the community colleges, because we've been having the conference calls, the TAC conference calls, which are the CEOs of the 50 community colleges. So that was scheduled for Monday, this past Monday, because that was the soonest that they could get people together. Plus, they were trying to get information from the governor's office as well as the coordinating board. So I was able to talk to the associate commissioner on Friday, got a little bit of information that basically there was not going to be additional guidance that would come from the coordinating board in a document of the type, the TEA document, but there would be some guidance that they would be releasing, and they intended to release it over the weekend. So they released it on Sunday, and basically then what we got on Sunday was reference to the TEA language about the public schools, what I've already read. And then it went into TEA guidance recommends that public school systems consult with their local public health authorities and legal counsel before making final decisions regarding COVID-19 related health and safety protocols. And I want to recognize Craig Ferguson in the room. Craig has been through this entire pandemic, and I want to publicly, I've bragged on you many times, Craig, but I want to brag on you publicly in front of the board again. He has just been fantastic leading our emergency team, and we meet every Tuesday morning at 7:30. I think we've missed just a few since last March, and it brings together everybody to talk about what's going on and trying to keep a thumb on what is happening. So I can tell you, I text him, can we talk? It's been through the entire pandemic. He's always ready to help, give me any kind of guidance or suggestions. So I was already, again, it's pretty normal that we're talking, and so already getting some guidance from him on other situations as well that we deal with relative to the pandemic. Also had a situation where we just happened to be meeting on last Friday, had reason to be meeting relative to the Coliseum, because the Coliseum has been one of the places that we have really had concerns about as a community, opening that thing up to masses, and so we have been very careful about that. But we know that graduation's coming, and we've got to think about those kinds of things. And so we were already going to be meeting about that. Plus, our basketball season, we had started it off very slow, just basically teams, really watching to make sure we weren't having any kind of issue. And then just a little bit at a time, we were beginning to let our dorm students come, and then we opened it up last Monday night, and using protocols in place. So our meeting on Friday was also to really look at that, the Coliseum relative to the games, as well as just initial conversation about graduation. And then also Dr. Sarah Vannon from Scenic Mountain Medical Center and also Odessa Regional, he serves as the chief medical officer for both facilities, was also there. So we had an opportunity to talk about the Coliseum, and basically you're not, as far as the local health authorities, they're not, the mantra has not changed. Wear your mask. I mean, he probably sleeps, dreams it all night long. I don't know. But Craig continues to say the same thing. Wear your mask, social distance, wash your hands, you know, all the things that we've all been hearing. And I continued to hear those kinds of things. I also did reach out and talk to our legal counsel, knowing that ultimately as a part of this executive order interpretation for the colleges and universities from the coordinating board, that you all would be in a position to make a final recommendation or final decision. And I wanted to be able to come to you with a recommendation, and obviously it's your decision. And so we have been pulling information together over the last few days relative to exactly what we can do, cannot do, and so got some guidance from legal counsel as well. And that is basically we do have the authority, the board has the authority to keep things in place, change it, whatever. That is allowed. The coordinating board recommends then the following action, that institutions of higher ed may continue to require current health and safety protocols on campus, including relating to the wearing of a face covering for all students, faculty, staff, and campus visitors. However, the governing board of an institution or system may modify or eliminate by formal action the mask-wearing requirement. Number two, given the constant changes to the COVID-19 public health situation, institutions of higher ed should continue to consult closely and regularly with your local public health authority in making decisions regarding appropriate COVID-19 health and safety measures for each respective campus. So another thing that I did over the weekend, also reached out to Barney Welch, who is with DISH? DSHS. And Dr. Sony out of El Paso is actually over our area, but Barney is very involved, and we've also been in conversation with Barney throughout this situation. And to just see if there were any changes and any thoughts, guidelines, or anything coming from them, and wasn't getting any kinds of changes. Basically, they were keeping everything in place relative to the 14 days for quarantine, which is now you have a choice on that. But the local health authority makes that decision, and that's CDC guidelines. And so kept gathering all the information relative to all of that. In the meantime, had reached out to you all, as you know, to see if you would be available for a board meeting. And so here we are. And so in the meantime, we also, as you know, we have a COVID response team that started meeting last March, hard to believe. And we also had a couple of meetings. Again, we were going through several days just trying to read the tea leaves, see what we could or could not do, and then just where we were centering in as far as, you know, what was best. So the other thing then that I felt could be of interest, I just thought with the vaccine rollout, I was curious, not that we are going to, we didn't require people to fill out a survey. It was anonymous and they could give their name or not. But just to get a sense of what we already had in our group, as far as our employee group, in the, you know, what was the status of vaccination and interest in vaccination and all of that, and basically what we found is that trying to find my percentages. There we go. Fully vaccinated, which means both doses and your two-week cure, is what I call it. 29% first dose, 18 or right at 19%. We had right at 10% that planned to receive the vaccination but had not received it. 22, almost 23% still trying to determine whether they're going to take the vaccination. Right at 14% that are not going to take the vaccination, and then 5% that preferred not to respond to the survey. So that was just, again, just kind of a random sampling. We did have 214 people that responded, so that's a pretty good number. And that was just, again, to get a sense of what even our vaccine status was on campus, realizing that some people are choosing not to take the vaccination, or, you know, and have their thoughts and opinions about that, but just to get a sense of what was out there. We also were very fortunate in the conversation that we had that Friday that the vaccine clinic Scenic Mountain has been conducting. They offered to bring one to the campus, the Big Spring campus, and so we were able to have that on Tuesday afternoon. And part of that resulted from the fact that the week before they had not used all their vaccines, and so they had some extras, and so they needed to get those in arms, and they had others that were coming in this week. So we were able to have that on Tuesday afternoon, and we ended up having 104 participants in that, and actually had a right at 56 students that chose to get a vaccine. So we know that there are a lot of vaccine clinics that are going on. I think there's been 3 or 4 days of it this week. I think there's one going on today. But we know that it's still rolling out, as Dr. Hobbs mentioned, that the numbers, the percentages are still below 10% as far as in the state of Texas. And maybe today there'll be, you know, it'll get up there, even it'll be right at that 10%. So based on all of that information, you know, I will tell you that whenever I make a recommendation to you all as a board, you know, for any decision you're going to make, I try to really think very, very seriously about whatever that is. And so this one has been one that I've really studied a lot and really wanted to make the best decision. And so I basically came to the conclusion with the input from the response team and everything that I was reading, and also we did have the TAC call on Monday The 50 community colleges participated in that, went over the coordinating board. We had Associate Commissioner Ray Martinez on there. We were able to ask questions, get more clarification. And so with everything just coming from all the different places, conferring with our local health authorities, it's the attorney, talking to the other community college presidents, just seeing what was going out there, I came to the conclusion that I felt the best thing to do was continue our protocols as they are through the end of the spring semester, realizing that we may see, there may be some variations. I mean, bottom line is, hopefully it's going to get better every day, but it could go south on us too. And so, you know, there may be some variations in our current protocols that we might even want to change. But as you know, we've had the Open Howard College document that has been, really, it's been evolving over months. It started off quite lengthy, and then we tried to condense it when we got ready for the school year to begin, so perhaps it would be a little easier for people to look at it. And so I did a little bit of work on that to update where we are. Let me go over why that I would be recommending this. Part of this, our situation is the masses of people that we have on our campuses, they change often during the course of a day. And during the week, we've got a lot of movement to and from campus, people coming in, visitors, because we have cosmetology labs, and we have dental hygiene clinics, and we have fitness center on the Big Spring campus. And then you have, on our other campuses, we have similar things. And then you have a local workforce solutions on the Big Spring campus, and you have groups that come in for meetings. So there's a lot of activity. We planned for that when we put our Open Howard College plan together last summer because we wanted to try to move forward and do as much as possible safely and do everything we could to protect people, but try to do as much normalcy as we could. And so that we've tried to implement that using the Open Howard College plan while we were also following the guidelines from the state of Texas. We also have health profession students. We have several programs. Those health profession students, they have to follow masking requirements. They go into facilities, into hospitals, nursing homes. Some instances, they're even in prisons. They're everywhere, and they're coming. They go to clinicals. They're in class. So you've got a lot of movement of those students as well. I've already mentioned our prison program. You know that we have a lot of activity. We serve our prisons, and we have our student inmates. So we have prison faculty that have to follow masking requirements, and they come to campus, and so we've got those individuals coming in. We've got our dental hygiene clinic and cosmetology, as I've already mentioned. We have dorm students. Our dorm students for the Big Spring and SWID campuses, we don't have those on our La Mesa and San Angelo campus, but we do in Big Spring. The dorm students, they come from many locations. A lot of those students are athletes. They play students from other colleges. Although there are protocols in place for all the athletics, we still have a lot of movement in all of that. Although we have the primary campuses of La Mesa, SWID, Big Spring, and San Angelo, and yes, the majority of those students may come from that community just of Big Spring, San Angelo, La Mesa, and SWID, of course, could be Big Spring. Reality is we have students that come from all the service areas. They drive in. So we have communities that are being brought back and forth. And so there's just, again, there's a lot of movement. As I said, Workforce Solutions is on our campus. And, again, we have, being a community college, the community part of who we are, community college. As you all know, as a board, we strive to do everything we can to serve our community, be a broker of opportunity. Not only are we providing higher ed opportunity, but we're also trying to do other things that we can do that benefits our communities. And so as a result of that, we have, like, Workforce Solutions, Big Spring Campus, the Fitness Center. We have the Sub, where we have organizations that meet. And then the Coliseum that we've just recently started opening up just a tad. The student population that we have is mainly in the categories of that are not being, that are not in active vaccination at this time. And as I mentioned, we have had some that have taken them, and some of our health profession students have been able to take them. There is no doubt that our cases in the last couple of weeks are down, and we're very, very pleased with that. But I've gone back and I've looked at, and I want to also thank Rhonda Koenig. Rhonda and Fabian, that Rhonda has probably kept up the template more. I think Fabian would agree with that. And when I go back, and of course that information, it's you know, we have the names, and so I'm not going to be sharing those that publicly. But when I go back and I look at what has happened since we came back to campus in the fall, and then when you see different surges of confirmed cases and exposed cases, and if you'll remember the way that we report on our dashboard, it is reflective of cases that have created exposure on campus, but we have had cases outside, people that don't come to campus, they're exposed because we have those protocols in place. They're supposed to call, they're not supposed to come if they have COVID, if they have exposure, if they have symptoms, those kinds of things. And that's worked really well. People have done a great job of that. But when you look at some of the results of different times, what I was looking at, I'm thinking, I'm not sure what Rhonda did the week of November the 1st. I mean, it was just, that week was just crazy. Lots and lots of exposures and cases. And then you can kind of see different times, and that was right after Halloween. After the first of the year, we see a big surge there. Well, I'm saying all that to say spring break is next week, March 15th through the 19th. And so then we're going to, that's going to be generally, that is a time that you see a lot of activity and people moving around. Without a doubt, fully vaccinated individuals will be continually increasing over the next few weeks as vaccines are provided. We have an open Howard College system down. It's working. And I think there's a general feeling of us being a safe place to work and to attend college, although we're all sick and tired of the mask, and we're all sick and tired of all the things we're having to do. But it's still, we're still battling through, and we keep wanting to just keep being as normal as we possibly can. We also, every situation has its own nuance. And Howard College, unfortunately, we've lost two employees to COVID. And we just buried one of them on February the 9th. We have an employee that just recently returned after a long hospitalization. We have another one that's still in critical care after being in hospitals in the Houston area. And we've had several employees that have had significant cases with shorter hospitalizations. We've had employees that have lost a parent. And we all know that we've had, you know, friends, several that have had significant cases, or we've lost friends and family outside of just the local area. we've had several retirees that have lost lives and had severe cases. So it's real personal to Howard College. Again, everybody has a different nuance, but unfortunately, we have had some significant impact. So again, for all those reasons, I feel that that's the recommendation that I would make to you. And I believe we need some more time. And again, as I said, the COVID response team has been a part of that conversation. And I've also just tried to kind of talk to people individually to try to just kind of get their sense and, you know, see what people were feeling. We just need some more time to pass. We need to see what's going to happen with cases and hospitalizations in our area. Thank goodness we're not seeing that with hospitalizations and our deaths. And we're going to do everything that we can to be supportive of the vaccination completions, although we know, again, some people are not comfortable with it, and we certainly respect that. And we just know that everyone is having to process all this pandemic on their own. We, at the same time, as I mentioned, we keep trying to find ways that we can do a little more normalcy. And I mentioned what we, you know, the Coliseum and what happened. Everything went well with our games the last 10 days that we started letting outside folks come in, our students, who had all been tested, by the way. And we felt good about that early in the semester. And then just the general employee, everyone is handling the protocols. John Overton's done a great job. Terry's been a part of that. As far as settings how we're using the Coliseum, mainly we're just using the north side to kind of limit what we have in capacity. The social distancing, all that in place, people require to wear masks, to the point that to allow some of our fans, our loyal fans, to come this weekend, and we have a doubleheader on Saturday, and then we have a couple of other games left before we finish the season. And as y'all can tell, you know, this is very weird. Normally we're through with basketball by now. But that was also part of what action was taken by the NJCAA to set the season back. But feel good about that. Again, Chief Ferguson was part of that conversation, and we've had multiple conversations about that. I told Chief Ferguson, Dr. Sarah Vannon, I'd be using their names, and then ask them if they'd be willing to come. And I appreciate you coming, Chief Ferguson, in case there were any questions. But again, for all those reasons, I would make that recommendation, fully respecting the fact that you are the board and it's your final decision to make.
Can I give you another data point? Some of you know that I deal with a very elderly lady with Alzheimer's who's in Marcy Place right now. And that is overseen, surprisingly, by a state entity that deals with care facilities and so forth. They have not made any changes to the rules for care facilities. I still, even though I've been vaccinated with both doses, had to get a COVID test the first week of the month because there have been no changes from the state. And in the same way that they are responsible for those residents, we are also in loco parentis, see, I know the term.
We do.
For our dorm students, I took last.
Uh-huh. I did too.
For our dorm students, in kind of the same way.
Right.
So I would totally agree with you that we should be continuing the mask situation at least through the end of the semester, because 56, maybe there's a few more, but that's not a huge number of students that have been vaccinated.
Right.
And ultimately, we're kind of responsible.
Sure.
But even the state itself, while the governor is making some order changing this or potentially changing this, the state's own agencies are not changing the protocol. You still have to wear a mask if you go in the building. You still have to jump through all their hoops. And there's obviously a reason for that, even though I think everybody at Marston Place has been vaccinated, but they still make you do it because there's been no change in the protocol from the state. So it's kind of funny that the governor, on one hand, has gone off this way, but the state bureaucracy, he hasn't pulled that with him in any way.
I think what makes us different than the public schools is all of these items that you listed. We have so many people coming and going, and I think you made the statement yesterday at the San Angelo meeting that, you know, the ISDs, they come there and they stay there. It's the same little group all day long, same class all day long, but our situation, they're coming and going all the time. So I would agree with you, too.
Okay. So do we need a motion?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We have hand sanitizers, also temperatures as far as when people come in. We're trying to be as safe as we possibly can right now as we start this process.
I'm asking that, like in our church,
right. No, we, as far as sanitation, we also have some, Fabian, you want to explain what those things are?
Sure,
that we do?
It's like a pump up sprayer, but these are battery powered so that the person using them doesn't have to pump them to spray and pump them, so it's just a continuous flow of disinfectant.
And we're not, and we also made the choice that we're not doing concessions. And so basically, we started slow with no fans and wanted to see how that worked. Then we thought again for Chief Ferguson. I'm calling him and saying, okay, what do you think about, if we let our dorm students come? And we talked about that. And then we just kept trying to just kind of inch it up a little bit at a time to see. Also keeping our protocols in place. Terry and John last week, I think it was last Friday, made sure we have all but we have the social distancing in place by the way that they mark everything. And at this point for the game, we're using the north side and we spread people out, and then we're putting like the teams on the south side and keeping them separated. So we're, thank goodness that place is big enough that you can really, you have the opportunity to do some of that. And so it's working. Yeah.
So do we need a motion?
I'm sorry?
At least there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Right. Right.
But you had, 29% of the people took your survey have been fully vaccinated. I mean, we're heading in that direction. And obviously, what messaging we can do, particularly with the students, now that they seem to be able to get vaccine, would be to encourage everybody to do it. And at some point, there will be either 14% or whatever it is that will not decide to be vaccinated or
right.
not to be. And at some point, we will have to open up and they will have to be responsible for their own decisions. But I think that considering that they've only just, all of a sudden, it's like someone flipped a switch in Big Spring and there's a vaccine all over the place, I think we need to give it time for that vaccine for people to get those vaccines and to go through the necessary weeks. I mean, the people that got the vaccines at the Coliseum probably were mostly first time.
Yes, they were all first-timers. Yeah.
Right, so those people need 6 weeks or
yeah,
whatever.
It's like April, I've got it on my calendar, I think it's April the 13th that they're going to be fully cured.
You're already coming up to the end of the semester anyway. To me it's just a no-brainer that we just leave everything for the moment.
I will say, as I mentioned, for graduation, there's still considerations for that, and at the board meeting March 29th, we will be discussing that over the next few weeks about what we would recommend, and again, have been talking to Chief Ferguson yesterday. And also our legal counsel trying to just keep all of that guidance in place. And so we'll bring some stuff back, some information back in March. But if you are, at this point, let me show you how the Open Howard College plan would be adjusted based on what has happened with the governor's order. So let's look at that. Basically, the only change then would be on page 3, just the fact that the CDC guidelines, they change often on quarantining. I say often, somewhat, and so made that a sentence that is we're going to follow quarantine guidelines that come from the CDC. And what we know how that's changed is that individuals who've had cases of COVID-19 within the last 3 months and fully vaccinated people in certain situations don't have to quarantine. So that is, as far as our quarantining, we're trying to follow what CDC says. Under campus health protocols, nothing changes on the face covering. Because of this discussion, I thought I wanted to clarify. I wanted to make it more available so people understand there. We do allow situations where people are not having to wear masks. So it's not like that everybody at Howard College is wearing a mask all day long. And so let me kind of explain some situations. Okay. First of all, we make efforts, and you know this, but I thought we didn't have this in writing, so I wanted to put this. Efforts will be made to schedule classes, events, dining spaces, and meetings in spaces large enough for social physical distancing, 6 feet or 2 arm lengths, to be achieved. Face coverings will also be required in mass gatherings in larger spaces, regardless of social distancing arrangements, following CDC guidelines, unless eating or drinking. So that kind of brings in the Coliseum, what we're doing right now with the game. So if somebody brings a Coke, something to drink or whatever, then they're able to do that. The face covering requirement does not apply to the following. Already, we have been saying, but this part of the next part that's in black was actually in the paragraph, and so it wasn't as clear. So I thought, let's get this clarity in there. When working alone in an office or isolated space, behind a plexiglass barrier when distanced, outside when distanced, in certain resident hall situations, as outlined in related residence hall information, in certain athletic program situations as outlined in related athletic documents, when consuming food or drink or seated in a dining area to eat or drink, any person younger than 10 years of age or according to child care center regulations, any person with a medical condition or disability that prevents wearing a mask, and giving a speech for a broadcast or to an audience. Previously, we had that the college will follow the governor's order concerning face covering, so obviously that struck. And so, and then those are the only changes in the Open Howard College document, but really they're reflective of what is happening, short of, we won't be doing the we wouldn't be following the governor's order.
And make a motion that we leave the protocols the same as you just outlined and follow your recommendation.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Thank you very much. Motion passes. So you are back to business.
Okay. Thank you all very much. And I know that, again, this is a very controversial topic, and I know that all of us, we are ready for normal, and we'll get there.
Yeah, we all are.
We'll get there.
Yeah. All right. Let's put that one to bed. Let's go to our meeting evaluation future agenda item.
We will continue preparing for the March 29th board meeting, and you will be getting information relative to that very soon.
Very good. All right. I don't have anything to report other than I've had my shot, and I'm past the deadline anyway, so I feel like I'm in good shape. Other than that, would I thank everyone for attending, and based on the authority given by the governor, this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Hey, plenty of time.
Make it.
I got plenty of time. Yeah. How's everybody in your world? Good. Yeah, we're going in the morning to get the Weatherford kids, and they're coming for spring break for a few days. So we're going to do that.
They're okay.
Yeah. Playing volleyball. And he's actually good.
I'm hanging up
for a checkup, and he got released, and he was on the golf course this morning.
We're sorry, your conference is ending now. Please hang up.